Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Christian persecution is real, and not just in faraway places. Christians are being persecuted here in the United States, and the devil's in the details. You can call me a conspiracy theorist if you wish, but your blood does not have to be shed or your neighbor martyred for it to be called persecution. The proper definition of persecution also includes hostility and ill treatment of those who differ in origin, religion, or social outlook. In the words of one Christian cultural writer on the internet, he says, "You don't have to be lunch meat for a hungry lion or lit up as a torch in Nero's palace before it's fair to claim that you're facing persecution as a Christian." Well, you have witnessed it. Anti-Christian hostility in the United States is greater now than at any time in our history. In the first 3 months of this year, there have been 69 acts of hostility against churches in 29 different states. These break down to 53 acts of vandalism, 10 arson attacks or attempts, 3 gun-related incidents, 3 bomb threats, and 2 incidents of assault. Currently, ideology and rhetoric contrary to fundamental biblical teaching and beliefs are being shoved into the Christian's life, even from the highest levels of government and corporate America. Our elected officials want to legalize abortion on demand and at any point of pregnancy. They want to force schools to open their bathrooms and locker rooms and dorm rooms and showers to anyone who identifies as any random sex. They want to make it a crime to counsel children and adults with gender dysphoria against transitioning to a different sex. And of course, you cannot forget that during the pandemic, they forced many churches to close while at the same time allowing casinos and strip joints to remain open. That is Christian persecution. So the Christian does not trust in earthly princes, but we take our refuge in the Lord. Just like Peter and the apostles, when they were ordered by the high priest not to proclaim Jesus' name, they answered, "We must obey God rather than men." So brace yourselves for the month of June. It's just a few days away, and you can expect corporate marketing campaigns to glorify and celebrate every sort of perversion to the highest level. June is Pride Month. Year-round, employees in offices are likely to be harassed and passed over by promotion if they hold fast to God's order of creation that boys are boys, girls are girls, and marriage is only between one man and one woman. So maybe I am a conspiracy theorist, but if you don't believe that there is Christian persecution in our country, just bring up the biblical view of abortion, marriage, and gender at your next family reunion and see how that goes for you. God has not called everyone to be a preacher or a teacher, but he has called all believers to be salt and light in this unsavory and darkened world. Just as he sends pastors and missionaries out into the harvest fields, he sends you and other Christians in your various vocations and stations of life to imitate Christ to the world, to share his gospel. He sends you to your unbelieving neighbors to tell of the redeeming love that God has for you in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Because we discussed it slightly down in Bible study downstairs, faith comes through hearing the gospel. So if that neighbor of yours, unbelieving neighbor, never hears the gospel, the life-saving truth, the love that God has for them too, if they never hear that Jesus died on the cross to save them of their sins, how can the Holy Spirit create faith in their hearts? So, yes, Christians are being persecuted. And as evil sweeps across our country and world, it's only going to get worse. The devil is in the details. So you, brother and sister in Christ, prepare yourself for the persecution that is to come. In our epistle reading this morning, St. Peter says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." It's been almost 200 years since Peter wrote this letter. He's writing from Rome, and he's witnessing in real time Nero's action against Christians. He's murdering them for his entertainment, and he is martyring them for their faith. So he writes this letter as an encouragement and instruction to Christians of all times so that you endure suffering for the sake of Christ and his life-saving gospel. Peter says that persecution should not be viewed as strange. Well, we know that is true. Christian persecution is completely normal in a sinful world. And it has taken place since King Herod first sought out to kill the baby Jesus. While Herod was unsuccessful at killing the Christ child, he did have all the male children, ages 2 and under, from Bethlehem and all the region, put to death in hopes of destroying Jesus. So even though we often call St. Stephen the first Christian martyr, martyred for his confession of Christ, these little 2 and under holy innocents of Bethlehem were the first martyrs because of general hatred of Christ. And things have not changed. Holy Scripture teaches us that there are only 2 spiritual kingdoms in the world. There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of the devil. All who are baptized and believe and trust in Christ Jesus for salvation are in the kingdom of God. They are sons of God through faith and members of his kingdom. So that means everyone who is not in Christ Jesus, who are not in Christ, are sons of disobedience and children of wrath. They follow the devil. They are members of his kingdom, living out their wicked passions in the world, carrying out desires of the body and the mind. And they're very much just like you and me before our baptism. They are by nature enemies of God, opposed to his kingdom. And up until this point, you and I and other Americans have pretty much escaped any physical persecution. But things are changing. We see the Christian persecution being dished out in all shapes and sizes. And in these dark and latter days, it's even coming from within what we would have considered the visible church. Coming from those supposed brothers and sisters in Christ who have been deceived by the devil. They cut and paste the Bible into their false doctrines, and they teach cleverly devised myths that suit their own passions. They adopt heretical gospels in the name of inclusivity, individual autonomy, and church growth. And then, when you, Christian, stand up and make a charge and a confession for the inspired, authoritative, inerrant word of God as the only rule and norm for Christian teaching, they get in your face, they rebuke you, they call you all sort of names. At the minimum, they look at you as if you have lobsters crawling out of your ears because you are unloving. But remember the words of St. Peter. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. The fountain and source of all evil, suffering, and persecution comes from your adversary, the devil. As our text says, he is like a roaring lion, roaming about, seeking someone to devour. And the devil wants you to doubt Jesus and his word. He wants you to believe that his suffering, death, and resurrection for your salvation is nothing more than a fantastic fable or fairy tale. He wants you to believe that God has abandoned you in your time of need, your tribulations and trials. He wants you to believe that you must save yourselves with human wisdom. But dear Christian, take heart. God has a purpose for allowing you to undergo persecution. And of course, it is not punishment for your sins. Jesus already bore the entire weight of God's wrath against your sins. He has paid for them in his innocent suffering and death on the cross. But God allows trials in your life to test you. He strengthens the Christian through affliction. Luther calls it the theology of the cross. Through suffering we go. Through hardship, God fortifies your faith and drives you to the foot of the cross, where you have nothing at all to cling to but Jesus. So you look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. In God's hidden wisdom, we don't understand suffering and tribulation. Nothing happens in this world apart from the will of God. And in your adversity, you will suffer according to God's will. And although you don't know that hidden will, you do know by faith and trust that God has what is best in mind. Best for you and best for the good of others. He will use your sufferings and your afflictions to further his kingdom. So cast all your anxieties on him. He will sustain you, uphold you, and bless you in the midst of persecution. Unfortunately, the fires of tribulation and persecution are not going to be easy. Suffering for the sake of the gospel is not pleasant, taking verbal abuse, loss of family and friends, imprisonment, even death. But for the Christian, the suffering and death for the sake of the gospel is an honor. It is your pleasure, because you recognize how much Christ Jesus suffered to save you from your sin. So in his letter, Peter is telling all Christendom that they are preserved by Christ in the face of trials. You cannot preserve yourself any more than you can raise yourself from the dead. But in your time of tribulation and persecution, Christ preserves you. He alone keeps you safe from harm. He keeps you from true harm. And what is true harm? Health is not the greatest good, but your confession in Christ Jesus. True harm is denying Christ. So take comfort in our Lord's words when he says, when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. He doesn't promise some intervention by angels fighting off your enemies. He doesn't promise you some divine extraction. No, he has armed you with his word and Holy Spirit. And the Spirit will strengthen you by the gospel to keep you in the true faith. The Spirit will give you courage to speak the truth of Christ crucified. And the Spirit will aid you to speak clearly the truth that of Jesus, clearly to speak the truth of Jesus whom you have come to know it from the Holy Scripture. No persecutor can triumph over the victory of Christ for his people. Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail. So even if death separates you from this world, it cannot separate you from the love of God and separate you from the redemption accomplished through Christ Jesus. So the fire of being lit up as a torch in Nero's palace, it really only lasts a short time. But the fires of hell prepared for the devil, his minions, and all who refuse to believe, those last for an eternity. In our gospel text, Jesus is about to go to the cross, and he's praying to his Father in heaven shortly before he is betrayed and nailed to the cross, where he would die for your sins and the sins of the whole world. And at this point, he has taught his disciples for 3 years. They've learned at his feet. He has instructed them. He has promised them the Holy Spirit. And he knows that his disciples and the whole Christian church is prepared for the persecution to come. He has given the church everything she needs. And he prays, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me." By faith in Christ Jesus, you have eternal life. It is your present tense reality right now. You cling to eternal life through faith. And in the midst of good times and bad times, trials and tribulations, tyranny and persecution, you have his promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He is your creator and your redeemer, and he is with you to the very end of the age. And he gave his life on the cross so that he would not be separated from you for all eternity. You are in his care, even in the face of persecution, even in the face of death. Clinging to Christ crucified for you and his word, he will keep you in the true faith. He will keep you in his name. And he will sustain you so that you endure. And he will preserve you until he carries you in his very own arms into eternal life. All for the sake of his innocent suffering and death on your behalf. St. Peter writes in our text, "Rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.